Well, good morning, everyone. It's 10:30, so we will begin our time of worship. I think you all know me. If you don't, if you're visiting or you haven't seen me before, I'm Janice. I usually am worshipping at the Baptist Church, but it's lovely to be with you this morning. And I bring the greetings from Christopher and the leadership and the congregation at the Baptist Church. So it's great to be with you this morning. And as I always say, I feel as if I'm among friends because I know so many of you. So I definitely am. So it's great to be with you this morning. So today's theme is a mountaintop experience, and I'd like to invite you all to stand as we say our call to worship together this morning. So I will say the words in yellow if you would respond with the words in white type. So as we come into this sanctuary this morning, we worship with the mountains, we sing with the rocks and hills, and we ponder and connect with the wonders and mystery of the mountaintop experience.
Holy, 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 earth is filled with your presence.
We invite the mountains to worship with us. We invite the wild to join us in wonder.
Holy, 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 earth is filled with God's presence.
In the name of our God who creates the mountains, in the name of Christ crucified on Golgotha's hill, in the name of the Holy Spirit deep in the mountains,
holy, 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 earth is filled with God's presence. Lord of glory, it is good that we are here.
So we're going to join together in worship by the singing of our first hymn. It'll be on the screen, but if you are using a hymn book, it's Mission Praise, number 50, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. So as was on the screen a little earlier, and as I said earlier, the theme for this morning's service is a mountaintop experience, and I don't know whether anyone knows which top of which mountain is on the screen there. Anyway, well, Barry, yes, I know you know. Yeah, I'll come to that in a minute. The phrase mountaintop experience has come to mean, in our everyday speak, a moment of significant revelation given by God, or a time of feeling especially close to God, or perhaps, like some of the disciples, as an experience of seeing Jesus as never before. And I wonder what your experiences of mountains are. Have you climbed one? And I wonder whether you have had a so-called mountaintop experience. Now, I have to admit, my experience of mountains is very limited, my achievements in climbing mountains even more so. I can say that I've climbed Mount Snowdon, and this is Mount Snowdon here, the top of Mount Snowdon. If any of you thought it was that, Barry, I know you knew. Its Welsh name is, sorry if you speak Welsh, anybody, but Irwidfar, which is the short form of Gwydifar Rita, or Rita's Cairn. But anyway, we in England know it probably more so as Mount Snowdon. And yes, in the 1970s, on a family holiday, my dad and me and my siblings, my brother and sister, we left my mum at the bottom, but we started to climb, and we climbed and we climbed and we climbed. We were sure we were getting to the top when we saw the sign, halfway point. So with that, we were really tired, and we caught the train back down. And my mum, meanwhile, was wondering, where on earth are they? We'd been gone so long. So I can't really say that I have much of an experience of mountains. I once went to Austria, saw the Austrian mountains, mainly from the windows of a coach, and my birth in Dover with its famous white cliffs probably doesn't count as mountainous, but that view from the top of the cliffs looking down will always be very special to me, onto the port. And of course, on a clear day, you can see across to France, and that will always be a very special view. One of my most memorable mountaintop experiences was when I felt a special closeness to God, and it was definitely a wow moment, but it wasn't actually on a mountain at all. It was rather in the depths of the earth, when in the late 1980s, My husband and I, who were running the Baptist youth group at the time, before we had our own children, we went to Wales and to South Wales, and some of you may know the Dani Rogoff Caves, and it's the National Showcase Centre for Wales. And visitors are able to be guided through its enormous caverns, including the famous Cathedral Cave. If any of you have been there, it's absolutely stunning. And then at the end, to walk behind the 40 feet high waterfalls that cascade around you in the Dome of St. Paul's, providing an atmospheric end to a truly wonderful experience. But what struck me, my mountaintop experience, and we'll call it that because, you know, that's how I can describe it, was really the smallness of us as human beings compared to this vast, cavernous set of caves and caverns. So today we'll be exploring further in our service the mountaintop experience through looking at the wonderful and in many ways mysterious account of the transfiguration of Jesus that we find in the Synoptic Gospels and in Peter's recounting of it in Peter's second letter. But before we do that, we're going to sing another hymn, a song, There is a Redeemer, after which whoever's bringing the notices today will be very welcome to do that. So let's stand and sing hymn number 673 from Mission Praise, There is a Redeemer. Do be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A lovely morning to come to church. A welcome to everyone who's here today, and particularly if you haven't been here for a while or you are visiting us for the first time. And a welcome to Janet Smith, who has been a friend of this church for many years. I'm not quite sure how many, Janet, but it's lovely to see you.
Over 30.
Yes, long time. Thank you for bringing your message today. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And a thank you to Martin for the music today. Where is he? Oh, you're hiding behind there. Thank you. Now, you're wondering why I'm here this morning. I can see it on your faces. Where's Margaret? Margaret's well. She's just having visitors today for a family day, so we hope she has a lovely time. The notices are on the pew slip, but I would draw your attention to the thank you notice about the angel tree gifts, and that is from Maureen Douglas. And also the dates for the coming events, please note. An advance notice for Friday, the 1st of March, when from the World Day of Prayer, there will be a service prepared by Christian women in Palestine. It will be at St. Dionysus Church at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much for all your contributions to the work of this church and to that of our partner church in Targa Mores. Refreshments will be available this morning in the Jubilee Hall after this service. We hope you will join us. Thank you.
Thank you. So you may wonder why the logo of the cube has come up. Some weeks ago, when I knew I was going to be taking the service this morning, I asked Margaret whether I might just have a few moments to bring you an update on the cube. I've been a trustee there now for the last year. Many of you will know that Stephen, your minister, who obviously is not with you now, but he was a trustee for some years too. And it's just really a few moments to bring you an update on how the cube is doing. So if you weren't expecting that, do forgive me, but I will take this moment just to do so. So the cube held its AGM recently, and that was a great opportunity, as it always is, to learn more about the cube's work this past year and to hear of future plans and projects. And as I said, I was appointed a trustee of the cube last January, and in this new role I've gained a new perspective, as it were, in seeing how the cube operates. I've been in the town for many years, and the Cube has been not in its present form, but it was founded back in 2005, I think. So I've known, obviously, of how it, you know, operates for all those years, but being a trustee gives a very different lens into its workings, and that's been very interesting. And my particular remit as a trustee is to be the link between the Cube and the town's churches and churches together, with which the Cube has always had a very strong and good and historic relationship. So to enable the Cube's vision and mission to become a reality, those of you that may not know, the Cube works with young people. They want to see young people thriving in their communities with opportunities to broaden their horizon and to offer a visionary approach to engaging in God's mission of grace and love and justice for all. And so the Cube continues to engage in relational youth and community work. For some young people, life is certainly not full of many mountaintop experiences. And certainly one of the legacies of the pandemic has been to leave many young people facing challenges that potentially affect their physical, mental and spiritual well-being, and thus their ability to thrive. So the Cube continues to run various sessions and groups for young people, both at the Cube and at both of the secondary schools, Welland Park and Robert Smythe Academies, where the weekly lunchtime drop-in sessions are both popular and much appreciated by the students. And a new youth counselling service has been up and running for about a year. And during that time, 59 young people have received counselling from a growing number of trained counsellors for varying lengths of time. And some sessions, although most of them take place at the Cube, some do take place at Robert Smythe on a Friday morning. And last year also an ageing caravan was purchased, and it was a very old one, and it's now in situ in the Cube's garden, having been gutted and totally painted on the outside and the interior refitted, and it's a welcome additional counselling space. So the new lens through which I can now view the work of the Cube as a trustee is enabling me to see how amazingly hard and creatively the staff, the volunteers and my fellow trustees work to ensure that young people in our local community are given the tools to thrive and so reach their full and intended potential. The ongoing wider support of the local churches and the community has always been very much part of that. So thank you for allowing me just to bring you this update and for this church's support of the Cube's work and for being part of that continuing story of the Cube. So please pray for the trustees as they seek to recruit a new youth worker in the near future, for the counselling service and the team of counsellors, for continued strong relationships with the schools, and for the Cube's continued running and plans for the future as the team seek to secure continuing funding, which is never easy for any charity. So thank you for listening, and I will pray for the Cube later on. Pam is now going to bring us our first reading. Thank you, Pam.
This is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 to 45, and it's the Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing beside him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud.
a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Amen.
Thank you. We're now going to come before the Lord in our prayers of intercession. And I would invite you, after each section of prayers, just to join in with me with four words: Lord, transfigure and heal. Lord, transfigure and heal. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we pray to you this morning, help us to know the glory of your presence among us, and to see more clearly the beauty of your holiness. Lord, you are the fulfillment of the law and the prophets of Israel, and in you the hopes and fears of all people are met. So give us grace to receive from you all that we need for today and the coming week. Bring rest and refreshment when we're exhausted, hope and faith when we're despondent and doubt you, and the assurance of your love and forgiveness when we're overwhelmed by our own weakness and failures. Inspire your church today with a renewed vision of your glory, so that we and all your people may walk as children of light, and by your grace reveal your presence in the world. Lord, transfigure and heal. Lord Jesus, we bring before you our world, a world marred by war, conflict, and bloodshed. And this morning we do indeed pray for peace and reconciliation in areas of the world where there is no peace at this time. We pray particularly for a true, just and lasting peace for people in the Holy Land, in your land, Lord, where you lived and worked and walked and died and rose again. And loving God, we believe that you want peace. We believe that you offer peace. We believe that you can bring peace. We believe that you call us to find peace in you and to live in peace with each other. So, Lord, we pray that each of us would pursue peace, particularly with those we think of as our enemies, but whose face is yours. For if there is to be peace at all, there must be peace for all. So please keep showing us the way and give us the humble boldness to walk in it, but don't let us give up. Lord, transfigure and heal. Lord, we pray to you for the life of this nation with all its joys, its sorrows, and its challenges. We thank you for our government, for our political parties, and we pray that you would grant our nation's leaders honesty, humility, integrity, and compassion. May our leaders be quiet in spirit, clear in judgment, able to understand the issues that face them, and may they think often of the people on whose behalf they have been elected to think and act. And Lord, at a time when financial resources are increasingly squeezed and many are anxious about how they will meet the cost of their living expenses, we pray that you would give wisdom to all those who make difficult resourcing decisions that affect our everyday lives. Lord, transfigure and heal. As we go about our daily routines this week, help us, Lord, to see your glory in the people we meet, with whom we work, our neighbours, friends. And in all our conversations, help us to listen carefully, not only to what others are saying, but also to what you are saying to us in each encounter. We pray for the young people of our community. We pray for the work of the Cube, working with local young people to ensure that they thrive and reach their God-given potential. We thank you, Lord, for the youth counselling service, which over this past year has been able to counsel many young people. And we pray for your healing for these young lives. Where there is anxiety, uncertainty and confusion, we pray that you may bring healing and hope so that they might be enabled to thrive and enjoy life as young people should. Lord, transfigure and heal. Lord, you know what it is to experience the joy and wonder of God's presence and then go down into the depths of despair and to suffer rejection and pain. And in a moment of silent prayer, we give thanks for your compassion and bring to you the needs of those who are in our thoughts and our hearts today. And this morning we have been asked especially to pray for Ken after a fall. So, Lord, help those people that we have prayed for or who have been in our thoughts, help them to know that you are with them, that when we descend from the mountaintop, although your presence may be hidden from us, you are still there with the power to bring comfort and healing of body, mind, and spirit. Lord, transfigure and heal. And finally, Lord, we pray for all those who are now with you in your eternal glory. As we rejoice in the fellowship of those who now see the fullness of that glory. But be with us in our journey and transform our lives with the promise that you will grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Lord, we give you thanks and praise because the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor and the majesty belong to you. And you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. We pray these prayers in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Amen. Let's say together now the Lord's Prayer, which will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring now the second reading before we sing another song. And that is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 to 18. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him." And we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Thanks be to God for his word. Going to sing then together, so let's stand and sing from A Mission Praise, number 14, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord.